Good morning and welcome to The Conversation. My name's Graham. I'm your host today. This is our live local call-in show where you get to call in and weigh in on the topic of the week. We've got three special guests today. First guest is Julia Aikman. She's the Harbor's Prevention Program Coordinator. She's been in the field of domestic violence crisis advocacy and teen dating, violence, sexual assault prevention since 2009. She has a bachelor's degree in music performance and a graduate degree in music therapy. She teaches middle school and high school students, college students, and community members about healthy relationships, consent, and teen dating violence prevention. Julia is a certified instructor in Green Dot Bystander Intervention Strategies. She enjoys teaching community members and students how to safely intervene when they see some form of power-based personal violence. Our next guest today is Jenny Feldman, who is the new LGBTQ+ Outreach Coordinator for the Harbor. They are getting a bachelor's degree in social work from Portland State University. Jenny helped create Queer Rock Camp SoCal and Portland and currently facilitates the Astoria Middle School GSA. Jenny also provides advocacy services and co-facilitates the Kiki Youth Group at the Q Center. And finally, we have Destiny, who's a sophomore at Napa High School and has just completed a 10-week curriculum training called Start Talking, which was presented by Julia and Jenny. Start Talking is an evidence-based teen dating violence prevention curriculum created by the organization Love is Respect. A unique quality of the Start Talking curriculum is that there is a social and emotional learning final project for students to participate in at the end of the 10 weeks of presentation. We'll hear much more about the Harbor with our guests, but I'd like to invite them to unmute their mics on Zoom now and say hello. Julia, thank you so much for joining us today.
Me.
Sorry about that. Had you down.
Hi, everybody.
Good morning. Good morning, Julia. And Jenny's here, too. Hi, Jenny.
Hi there.
Thanks you so much for joining us. And Destiny, hello. Looks like you're still muted, Destiny.
Hi.
Good morning.
So excited to be on here and to finally show up, speak out my opinions and my feelings and thoughts about this.
That's great. You're still a little quiet, so the louder you can talk, the more everyone will hear you at home on the radio.
Okay.
So I kind of went into your bios, but Julia or Jenny, does one of you want to just give us the recap of who the Harbor is, where they are, what they do?
Yes, absolutely. So the Harbor is a nonprofit domestic violence crisis agency, and we help survivors of domestic violence, sexual assault, and stalking, and any kind of intimate personal violence that they may be experiencing. We're located in Astoria, but we serve all of Clatsop County. So we're on the corner of 8th and Commercial Street. So we're in the Old Snow Law Firm building and very close to the courthouse and the post office. Right now, because of COVID, we're not doing any walk-in appointments, but definitely if you give our number a call, we can set up an appointment with an advocate. So we provide advocacy, we provide prevention and outreach services to the community. We have this new grant for prevention work. So we're in the schools. We just finished at Napa High School. We've taught at CCC about any kind of intimate personal violence prevention work. And then my role works very closely with Jenny's role. And Jenny is our new LGBTQ+ outreach coordinator. And so we do a lot of programs with the Q Center. So I don't want to talk for Jenny, but.
Do you want me to talk a little bit about what I'm just starting out to do with the Harbor?
Let's hear about your position and what you're up to.
It's a brand new position. I'm doing outreach at local schools. I help facilitate the GSA at Astoria Middle School. My hope is to start, if anyone doesn't know what a GSA is a gender and sexuality alliance club. Used to go by Gay-Straight Alliance, I believe. And students can start these. They have the power to start them at their own schools to make a school a safer space for all students. Research shows that GSAs do make schools safer. I am going to be co-facilitating a group tomorrow, Thursday, from 4 to 5 through the Q Center and the Harbor on Zoom about how to start a GSA at your school. And it's open to youth and adults for this meeting, and you can find information about it on the Harbor social media. And we're also starting a parent support group for parents of LGBTQ youth. So look for that information too. It's gonna be starting this spring.
Any hope for a Q Rock camp in Astoria?
Oh my God, yes.
Great, love it.
Don't even get me started, yes. COVID put a damper on that, but I would love, love, love to do a Queer Rock camp here in Astoria. I would love to do like a sleepover camp. That's the ultimate dream. Usually Queer Rock camp is just a daytime camp. Right. So I think it'll happen. And look for that in like the next, maybe next summer, we can make that happen.
Looking forward to it.
Just a shout out to all of the campgrounds in the area. If you want to help us out, that would be lovely.
Yeah, parents generally aren't thrilled about giving money to send their kids to the queer camp. So if anyone wants to donate, you know, beautiful campground to us, we'll take it. Let's put that out into the universe.
Yeah, absolutely. So if you're listening and you have a resource that could be available to a Queer Rock camp, then find Jenny at the Harbor. So let's see, Destiny, is there anything that you'd like to say just to introduce yourself and tell us about why you're here today?
Kind of. Well, I'm a sophomore at Napa High School, and for my project, I was really excited about doing it, and I'm glad that I could find a way of putting my effort, like showing my way of like participating into how to take action and to show support.
That's great. Well, it sounds like you've got a pretty good crew working with you here. And so now that we've got introductions out of the way, it's time for our weekly icebreaker. And I do believe Jenny has our icebreaker of the day. So if you're sitting at home and you're just ready to call in, here's your chance, 503-325-0010. Jenny, what's today's icebreaker?
It is, what is your favorite guilty pleasure red flag relationship song? So for an example, I know a lot of people have chosen the Police song, Every Breath You Take, as their wedding song, which is a terrifying song. This is something we talk about in our healthy relationship classes.
Yeah, there I think Sarah McLachlan has kind of a stalker song, too, that everybody mistakes for a beautiful ballad.
Which one's that?
Oh, it's, boy, it's from her, oh boy.
From Lilith Fair.
It's from the 90s. Does that help? I don't know. It was her first like major hit, and I think the album was called Fumbling Towards Ecstasy. Maybe that was the name of the song too.
Oh.
So do you have a song that's your favorite guilty pleasure red flag romance song? Give us a call, 503-325-0010. When we were talking about icebreakers yesterday, Julia told me about a really good one that they used too, which was, if you could have any kind of condiment come out of your fingertips, what would that be? So maybe we'll save that for next week. But that one really got me thinking. Nothing but the important stuff here.
I think Destiny had that question in class. So I think we asked Destiny that question. I don't know. Do you remember, Destiny, what would come out of your fingers?
Yeah, I remember. I remember a lot of funny icebreaker questions. I would just stop and make you think. But yeah, I definitely remember doing that one in class, and I definitely said ranch for like salad.
I love salad. Did anybody say pickle relish? Because that one, for some reason, comes to mind. But I.
Yeah, I remember. I remember some of my classmates said some of that, and I remember one of them said Italian dressing. Also, was kind of funny.
Ranch, Italian, ketchup, mustard. I was thinking about three different condiments on three different fingers. And then you can just...
That would be perfect for like a hot dog.
Do your hot dog in one pack. All right. Well, we will watch for that phone to ring, but we hope to hear from you about a guilty pleasure red flag romance song that's in your playlist. But let's now move on to the meat and potatoes of the conversation. So let's see. Maybe Julia can start and you can just talk about the 10-week program that you've been working with schools on.
Sure. Yeah. So my position is funded by the CDC and the Oregon Attorney General's office that manages the grant. And I have gotten really great schools just calling and asking us to come on in and teach this evidence-based curriculum called Start Talking. And it's from an organization called Love is Respect. And I can't say enough good things about this organization. It's a national campaign that is all about disrupting and preventing teen dating violence and sexual assault. So it's loveisrespect.org. If you're interested in checking it out, then there's all kinds of wonderful quizzes that teens can take to find out if they're in an abusive, unhealthy relationship. There's LGBTQ plus dating information and support groups that they can attend. There's even a link on how to have a healthy breakup. And so I think that's very interesting that teens can go there and find out more information on what to say and safety planning. Maybe their partner is not is very controlling, and so maybe they need to have a safety plan in place. And that's what a lot of the advocates at the Harbor can help out with as well. Jenny and I are also advocates as well as prevention educators, and we are not mandatory reporters. So that's a really good thing in the field of domestic violence and sexual assault
Can you tell me what that means specifically?
Sure. So there is advocate privilege law in the state of Oregon, which mandates that domestic violence community advocates are not allowed to report to systems. So we have the highest level of confidentiality in the state among social workers. So we can't report to law enforcement, child welfare, courts, doctors, faith-based, you know, organization, parents. And so that gives just an added little bit of safety so that we can talk about, like, if the systems did get involved, what that would look like. Mm-hmm. So if a report was made about domestic violence, what is the path that the survivor would be going down? So the courts would be getting involved, child welfare probably would be getting involved. And that we find that sometimes abusers don't always like that when child welfare gets involved, and it can create even more chaos and abuse in the future. So we tell the teens in our classes that they can come and talk with us after the class, especially if they've been triggered or they have trauma happening at home. And then we also do encourage our students and our survivors to make reports. So we're not, you know, we want to work with our partners and our systems as well.
Yeah.
But we understand that the survivor is in control of their life, and they are in the driver's seat, and they make their decisions on what they want to do to heal and to move forward.
And it sounds like the survivor is the focus of your services. And so these higher level services are not who you report to. You report to the person who came to you for help, and that is who you are responsible to. And
absolutely, absolutely. Yeah. So with the presentations, we want the teens to start talking about healthy relationships as the norm. You know, they see violence on the news, they see violence in their programs that they watch. There's a show called Riverdale. It's about, you know, the Archie comics, and in the show they talk about, sorry, everything is going off at once. They talk about, you know, there's not only unhealthy relationships, there are, you know, there's murder, and there's just like tons of stuff that the teens are going through, which kind of mirrors, like, besides the maybe the murder part, but which mirrors like what is going on in today's world for teens. COVID, we're in a global pandemic, you know. Our rural kids are not connected to the resources that they may need. So with Jenny and myself coming into the schools, you know, we are not only educating them about the resources, but we're talking to them about, you know, let's start talking about healthy relationships and making that the norm. Jenny, do you have anything to add? I'm going to kind of shut down some of my things that are beeping at me.
No problem. Yeah, I think one of the things that we hear from teens as we're talking to them is that they do get told so often what not to do in relationships. Like, you know, don't hit your partner, don't yell at your partner, don't grab their phone and snoop on their texts. But like, none of us are really taught how to communicate in a healthy way. I feel like what was modeled for us, like if we came from peaceful homes, maybe it was a lot of passive aggressive communication. So we talk a lot about like how to state your boundaries, how to ask for your needs to be met instead of making mean snide comments to your partner. We have really good conversations with the teens, and so many times they have great contributions. It's not a one-way street. We're not just telling them, we're giving them ideas, and they're giving us ideas too about how to communicate these things. And just to know kind of what your rights are just as a person, you know, you do have that right to privacy, and your partner shouldn't be asking to monitor your social media and for your passwords, say. One other thing I just wanted to mention about advocate privilege with LGBTQ teens, how important that can be. Like, let's say someone is gay and their parents would be abusive to them if they found out. So they're hiding it and they're in an abusive relationship. They can't go to their parents and say, hey, my boyfriend is being controlling. So that's like such an important part of the safety with queer teens is that we're not going to out them to their parents. We can help them safety plan without them having to be outed and creating, you know, an even bigger, more dangerous situation for them.
So you mentioned parents. And while Julia was talking, I kind of had a question that came up. And if you're listening and you have a question for Julia or Jenny, please do give us a call, 503-325-0010. My question was, as you go into the schools and work with this curriculum, do you get the sense that there's, I wonder where the expectation lies for this kind of learning? And I'm so glad that you're providing this resource and this education, but I wonder if the parents kind of expect the schools to do it and the schools kind of expect the parents to do it. And so you're filling a gap that exists, but what is kind of the general sense of where this responsibility lies? And do you see it being, is it falling short on one side or the other?
I feel like it's, like I said, I don't think many of us have the tools. So I don't know that anyone even expects anybody to be imparting these kind of lessons. What do you think, Julia?
Well, I've been doing this work since 2009, and I've been really like trying to get into health classes as an outside presenter. And I go in asking if I could come in and teach like a social learning, social emotional class. I know that back in the 90s, when I was going to school, like empathy was not taught, anti-bullying was not taught, or where a teen could go get help. So I really try to take those themes, and I have these goals in mind. And as we know, 1 in 3 teens will experience physical, sexual, or emotional abuse by someone that they know before they have an adult relationship. So that's a pretty it's pretty serious, you know, statistic there. And due to COVID, you know, we have been getting a lot of calls. Dating is happening online, dating is happening via text message, especially these teens, they can't drive, their parents don't want them to date. They live out in these rural areas and they know everybody, everybody's dating everybody. So we're seeing a lot of like teens coming to us about inappropriate picture sharing and sexting. And it really takes its toll. You know, teens don't know the sexting laws in Oregon. So we come in and we talk about that as well. So that's how teens communicate. I know that's how people in my generation now are communicating. Like, you have to make an appointment to have a phone call.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Jenny, did you have something to add to that?
Oh, not really.
Okay, that's fine. And so then the other thing that really rang true to me is just the violence and on TV, and to what extent you do identify that as a problem, or is it just a is it an unavoidable consequence of our culture? Like, do people advocate for a safer media environment at all? Is there a discussion about that?
I think Jenny often will mention expectations. Do you want to speak about the?
Yeah, it's kind of fun because as we go through this curriculum, we see youth start to analyze things with a more critical lens. And I think that's so important. I personally would not try to be changing media so much as I think if we can see it as entertainment and come to realize that it's not realistic for relationship models. We talk about how it's not good for your body to go through those kind of emotional highs and lows. And we see that as romance. We see that constant fighting and just those emotional peaks and valleys as like, that's the sign of true love. So talking about with youth about how that's not what you really want. That's not what's good for you in a relationship, I think is so important. I know in my middle school GSA, a lot of them watched, there's a lesbian Netflix movie called Happiest Season that was like one of those cheesy romance Christmas movies. And it was great because the middle schoolers tore it apart. They loved it. And they were just so critical and saying like, this relationship is terrible. I was so happy to hear them say that, by the way, that they loved it. And it's awful. You know, one of the girlfriends is controlling and forcing one of them to be in the closet and not allowing her to talk to her ex, or there's all kinds of awful red flag behavior in it. So to me, it's just really heartening to see young people watch this stuff. And if they can come to realize like, yes, that's entertainment and we don't want to replicate that in our own personal lives.
Well, cheers to you for teaching critical thinking. It reminds me of what you said about saying, you know, don't hit someone. And so this is like showing you how not to be, but I wonder where do we go for really positive relationship modeling as well? Like, is there a gold standard for, hey, look at these folks, you know, like this is a good way to do it.
We ask that question often in classes, like, is there a really good show that, you know, models healthy relationships and non-jealous behaviors and balanced, you know, relationships? So we often ask that question, and it's hard, it's difficult. I often tell the kids, like, it's not a fairy tale. We have to kind of forget the fairy tale and kind of lower our expectations.
It doesn't make sense.
Right. That's what Jenny often says too. Like, we are pulled into this drama. We want this drama. We feed off of this drama.
That's true. Humans do like the drama.
Mm-hmm. Or like Destiny was, love to bring Destiny into this conversation as well, hear from you. We were just talking about like the inappropriate songs that have lyrics that, you know, we don't think about when we're dancing to these songs and, you know, we're really listening to the beat and like moving. And then when we listen to maybe like we're sitting in the car, we have our headphones on and we can really listen to and analyze those lyrics. Then we realize that there is this power-based control happening or objectification, you know, like the song, I Like Big Butts, you know, it's a great dance song, but it's really just all about, you know, looking at women as objects and, you know, setting a high expectation for whomever to want this woman that looks like this. And yeah. So, well, Destiny, I wanted to ask you, is there a song that you know that, you know, the Jenny's question, the icebreaker question, is there a song that you know that talks about red flags, unhealthy relationships?
Definitely. I know a few songs because, you know, this nowadays songs are just like some of, like, for me, I just like the beat of music, not like necessarily the lyrics, because I really don't care about the lyrics. But I know my mom listened to this one song when I was younger, Love the Way You Lie by Rihanna and Eminem, and that song has like red flags all over it. And like, we used to just listen to it all the time, and I remember like it got brought up in class one time when we were doing something. I'm like, I totally remember that one. It was that song though.
Sounds like your cat has a strong opinion about this. So I did discover that that Sarah McLachlan song I was mentioning is called Possession. It's a beautiful song. And then the other one that came to mind for me was Juice Newton's Queen of Hearts. No one is a really smart. The Joker is the only fool who'll do anything for you. Great. Well, yeah, let's keep Destiny in this conversation. Should we? It sounds like you had some questions you were going to ask her that were based on the curriculum she just worked through.
Yes, absolutely.
And maybe before you do, I'll just reframe for if you just tuned in, you're listening to The Conversation on KMUN, and I have guests today from The Harbor, and we're talking about teen violence prevention and the program that they teach in the local area high schools and middle schools. So, Julia?
Thank you so much for having us once again, and thank you, Destiny, for spending your school morning with us. Get out of class. Yes.
Yeah.
Happy that I'm taking part in this, and I don't have school today because my school on Wednesdays we just check in.
Oh,
yeah, because mostly because I go in 2 days a week for school in person, and that day is a cleaning day for the next group of kids, so we just kind of take this day as a study hall day at home.
Wow,
and I like that about school, so yeah.
Yeah, that's lovely. You said a cleaning day?
Yeah, like, disinfecting everything.
Ah, it's so important. See all the good that you all are doing in the world? I am so impressed. I met Destiny back in September, I believe, and we were in Coach Miller's health class at Napa High School. And Destiny was very enthusiastic and was always like there to answer our questions. We didn't feel like we were pulling teeth with a lot of her classmates. They're lovely people too, but it was so early in the morning. We started at 8 o'clock in the morning with these kids. So it's hard to have social change, social emotional learning at that time of day. But Jenny and I tried our best and we met Destiny through these classes. So after the 10 weeks of the Love is Respect, Start Talking curriculum, you know, the kids are learning about digital abuse, they're learning about physical abuse and emotional, all the different dynamics of teen dating violence awareness or teen dating violence. And at the end of the 10 weeks together, they have the opportunity to take a quiz, an exam about what they learned, or to do a final awareness project. And it just happens to have ended in January, leading up to February, which is Teen Dating Violence Action Month. So their final projects could be used during this wonderful time for teens to get together all across the world to show their support for teen survivors and to educate people that this is a crisis and this is, you know, something that needs to be disrupted and prevented. So Destiny, I remember she emailed me and she's like, I have this idea of making keychains. You know, what do you think about that? So Destiny, will you please tell us, we have a couple questions for you, but will you please tell us like why keychains?
I remember when I was given the opportunity, like when my teacher assigned me the assignment, the project, Mr. Miller, I definitely had a couple ideas. Like one was doing a website. The other one was just like doing this one thing with like pins. And then like pins, like where you pin it to your clothes. Or you could put it into your backpack or anything. And then the third idea was keychains. And I definitely went with keychains because they were kind of easier to do. And they were not that hard to make, but they kind of were in a way. But keychains were just an easier way of like having it there to show like appreciation to those people that have suffered and had gone through abusive relationship before, and to show people that we're still there, like one of our family members or friends are going through that, to show that we're there for them and we can help them get out of that relationship.
It's beautiful. Can you tell us how you made them? Like, what materials did you buy?
I went to Joann's because that's like the only craft store around here. Where I live is just not, there's not a lot of stores around here. So I went to Warrenton and I went to Joann's and I got resin, molding resin. And then I got this mold, this baking molder and this ribbon symbol. And I mixed it in there. Well, with resin, there's like two types you have to mix together. So it's kind of hard because you can't really like pour more of something. Otherwise, it'll just be like really flexible because the resin's supposed to harden all the way there. And so I took a food coloring dye and some paint and I mixed the clear resin with that and some sparkles, like clear sparkles, whatever it was. And I put it in the mold and it molded for like 24 hours to 48 hours. And I was kind of panicking because I got that the day before the project was due because my mom was busy. So we got that, it was like 2 days before. So it was perfectly ready and done right before the project was due. And then I got some poster board and some paints and some Mod Podge and printer paper to print off some pictures. And so I painted my poster and I Mod Podged some butterflies and the Bill of Rights. So I drew that down. And I printed off some symbols and all that stuff and the reasons why I did the ribbon. Which the purple ribbon stands for abuse, for support. And I put it all together and I got some chain and I got some wire cutters and I kind of did it myself. And it was kind of hard. I was kind of frustrated about it because it was kind of frustrating, but I did it myself. And that's all that mattered is I put my effort into it.
You're empowered and you definitely made a difference. So your keychains were made out of resin in the shape of awareness ribbons. And so you did three. You did a purple one, you did it for domestic violence awareness. You did an orange one for teen dating violence awareness, which is this month. And then you did a white one with glitter and just really pretty. And you had them displayed on your board. I'm describing it. I'm not doing it justice by describing it. So one of the things you learned about was creating your own dating bill of rights. And what that means is that you got to make sure that you could put down all of your, like what you want in a healthy relationship and like mandate that and set those boundaries. So can you tell us what was on your dating bill of rights?
Yes. I'm looking at my poster right now. I'm glad I still have it. I'm going to keep it around for a little while because I like it. It's really pretty. For my dating bill of rights, the biggest one on there was, well, one of the biggest ones because there are a lot of big ones on there. They're all important. They're just as important. Like, there's no, like, number one because they're all number one. But one of the first ones I put on there was to be honest with each other. Like, I want my boyfriend to be honest with me. Like, I don't want no lies because if they lie to me, like if he lies to me, that's a sign to just get out, to be honest, because can't really, there's no good lies. There's obvious, they're all bad lies. Like, lying is just a bad sign. It's just bad. And then the second one I have on there was communicate your feelings. Like, I want my boyfriend to communicate, you know? Like, that's what relationship's all about, is just communicating. So you know, like, where you guys are at, like, where you're standing. So, and then the third one I did was no signs of pressure. Like, I want no pressure in the relationship because I don't want my boyfriend to feel pressured by me because I wouldn't do that. But, like, if he ever felt like that. And I don't want to feel pressured by him because, you know, I just want to feel like this the relationship would be just, you know, nice and open. Like, I just don't want no pressure. And then the fourth one I had was, of course, no abuse, like no putting down each other or saying anything. out of anger and dispute, like, don't say anything like that, because that's just really bad. And then number five I put on there was just don't allow them to control you at all, because I'm not going to try to control him, but I don't want him controlling me at all, or him feeling like I'm doing that to him. But like don't control each other, because that's just going to end up bad, and it's just not going to end up nicely. And then one of the big ones about yourself was, for me, was to trust yourself on how you feel. Like, I feel a certain way, I'm going to, like, trust myself, because I can't, like, you, yeah, I'm going to trust myself, because if I don't trust myself, then I'm not going to know where I stand in the future. And then another one I have on there was to respect yourself and him, especially just to respect yourself. That's a big one, is to respect yourself and him. And it's always, like, nice to have respect for yourself and to let them know that you have respect for yourself. Another one I said was to trust each other on things, like on certain topics. Like, you have to trust each other. That's what another big thing of relationship is trusting. And you have to trust each other. That's what it's about. Like, that's the scary thing that people say in a relationship, is trusting, because you don't know. And that's the thing about trusting. And it's kind of scary sometimes. But every relationship has that, though. Like, every friendship, every, like, relationship with your parent or sibling or anyone is trust. And sometimes it can be scary, because you just don't know if you can. And that's, you kind of just have to take a jump, I guess, and put yourself, you know, out there somewhat. And one of the other ones I put on there was try your best to show support and decisions for others. Like, I have to, like, another one is, like, just to show your best support. Because if you don't really show support for each other, that's just a bad thing, I guess. Well, it is. But especially if you don't really agree with what they're going to do, like, I don't know, like, change your job and quit what you were working so hard on and just go to a different job. You just got to try your best to support them and show your, like, feelings about it. But do it the best way you can, but, like, don't be disrespectful about it. And the last one I have on there, I have quite a few, but the one things I had on there was don't rely on each other with your own responsibilities, which is a big thing, because some people, they rely on their spouse to do them things for them, but it's not really their responsibility, it's more of their own responsibility, and I don't want that at all. I just don't want that. Like, if you have dry cleaning to go do, like, oh, do my dry cleaning, like, no, it's kind of your own job, though, unless you guys were married, because if you're married, that's a whole other deal. But, like, let's say you have your husband or your boyfriend has a work internship type thing, like, has to write something up or something. Oh, yeah, do that for me. No, that's your own thing. That's what you have to do. That's your work, not my work. So, yeah, that's definitely one of the big ones I have. Just don't rely on me to do your own responsibilities. Like, of course, I can help you out and give you advice and everything, but just don't rely on me for that, or rely on me for anything, like, everything. Not anything, everything, because, like, sometimes you have to do stuff on your own. You know what I mean?
I love it, Destiny.
Please keep this forever, Destiny, and, yes, like, hang it in your kitchen someday, and you can just point to it when your husband's getting out.
Yes. You are so independent and empowered, and I'm so glad that you are here teaching everyone about what you want in a healthy relationship. I really like what you said, like, is, like, I will let you know, like, my boundaries and what I want, but I will also be respectful, and I will also, like, communicate, like, if I need help or if you need help. I think that is so important, and I love that, you know, if you have to take space for yourself, you know, you always want to follow up with, I need some time alone, but I'll be thinking of you, So having that little positive spin on the, at the end of the conversation is so important. So you are so insightful, and thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah. We have some, just another couple questions for you, Destiny. And Jenny has the question.
Destiny, after the presentation about teen dating violence prevention, what's one thing that you did not know about or that was shocking to you?
One of the things like I didn't know before learning everything about teen dating violence and just violence in general and relationships is how many people were going through, like how often it was, especially because when, like, before any of it, I just thought it was happening like every so often, like not that much, like every so often, like every once in a while, like maybe once a month or some type of deal. But I didn't know that some victims are dealing with it every day, multiple times a day. And it's just really sad about how people, their spouses, are taking a vulnerable of their feelings and just tearing them apart and just doing all that sort of stuff. And it's just really sad. And I was really shocked about how many people are actually suffering some any type of abuse in the relationship. It's really sad. So, yeah.
Thanks, Destiny. Was there something that you really enjoyed during the 10-week presentation?
I really enjoyed going there to like answering the icebreaker questions. And there was always kids in class, like always, like if something was like a heavy feeling, like people saying if you break up with someone, like they'll just use excuses killing themselves, which is kind of really heavy because that's a really big thing that a lot of people actually pull on their spouses. If they wanted to break up, they'd be like, oh, if you break up with me, I'm gonna kill myself or something like that. But there was always some kids in class that would just kind of bring it up in a way, like just be nice about it and also like not make it so like deep and dark about that type of stuff, because that stuff was really dark and deep sometimes. But they'll just kind of like be there and that type of deal.
How about if a friend came to you that was experiencing dating violence, what would you do to help them?
I would definitely like offer like the Harbor, obviously, because the Harbor has a lot to offer. Because like if my friend or he or she or they and them had some sort of like a really abusive spouse, the Harbor like has a type of calls and texts where they can like, you know, help you out and all that stuff. And you can always like, if they come and they're like really stalking you on your computer, you can always like have that one type of button that just goes back to the home screen where it looks like completely normal. And I would definitely take action a lot, because especially if it's my friend or family, because that's personal me. And definitely would try my best and to help them get out of that ASAP as soon as possible so I can help them.
That's lovely. Thank you so much for being such a great person, helpful person. So Destiny was talking about the chat text line that the Harbor has. And as I was mentioning earlier in the show, that this is how people communicate nowadays is via text. And a lot of survivors, it takes a lot of effort for them to even walk into a place like the Harbor to receive services. So that text chat line is so important to be like the first step of getting help from an advocate. And we have that, oh my goodness, everything is going off at once.
That's what you get for being popular, Julia.
I tried to turn off everything, but it's still good. Oh, COVID. So I wanted to mention that we have our text chat line, which is on the Harbor's website, and you can just click on the link off of your phones or online. It's the harbornw.org, and there is a link on that page where you can chat with an advocate Monday through Friday from 10 to 6 p.m. And, the advocates are standing by. So it's not like a voice, like a voice messaging service, and they'll get back to you right away. We also have our crisis line. We have all of our services in Spanish, and we have two bilingual, bicultural advocates on staff, which is fantastic. And then we also have a teen support group, which happens on Tuesdays from 3:30 to 4:30. The link is also theharbornw.org. You can find the link for the teen support group. And it's kind of like a AOL chat room, kind of. So you enter the room, you enter the link, and then you are assigned a screen name. So it's anonymous, confidential. So you're given like a name like Lavender Owl or Green Llama. And then each time you sign into the support group every Tuesday, you're given another animal color name. So you have that that privacy and that anonymous name given to you. So it's also run by teen outreach advocates, and they talk about healthy relationships, and teens can voice their concerns and get the help that they need. So lots and lots of services for teens. So glad you brought up the chat text line as well, Destiny.
Yeah, that sounds like a great service. Well, you all are doing so much great work there. I'm curious, Jenny, is your position is grant funded? Is it also CDC, or is it a different funding source for that one?
Oh my gosh, you're putting me on the spot.
It's okay if you don't know, but like my concern is that you're not going to stick around for a long time. Are you going to be here forever?
I'll stick around for at least a couple of years.
Yeah, I hope it's a 20-year grant I'm getting at. I hope it's permanent funding and that we get to keep you around.
Just know, like, I am here to stay in the community, and my ultimate goal is to be a therapist and work with LGBTQ youth and adults. So I'm here to stay. My partner is also a therapist in town. We're here to stay. We're here to support the
Wonderful.
Queers
Wonderful.
As well as everyone else.
That's great. And Julia, is your position permanent at the Harbor?
No, it's not. But
why?
We have the option to renew it, and okay. I'm hoping that we can really show in our reporting that there is a need, especially in these rural communities.
And that you've had so much success, clearly, with your programs.
We're really trying. Thank you so much. And just being on your show is also like highlighting our services and the need for them.
Yeah, and this is maybe a good opportunity to say, too, that the Harbor serves Clatsop County, but our broadcast service serves five counties. And so if there is another service like this in Wakayakum County or in Pacific County or Tillamook County or Columbia County, I want to know about it. And I hope you'll contact me at graham@coastradio.org so that we can do the same thing for you that we're doing for the Harbor and help folks all throughout our listening area know about the services that are available to them, no matter where they live in this wonderful rural area of ours, where services are not as easy to come by as they are in rural areas. And so, again, I just can't reinforce how important the work you're doing is and how grateful I am personally. And,
Thank you.
I think the Harbor and KMUN are sort of birds of a feather in a way as organizations. And so it's just really gratifying for me to have you on here and to know about the work that you're doing and to help everyone else learn too. Destiny, I've got a question for you if you're open to it.
Yeah, I'd love to.
You're from the Napa area, is that right?
Yes.
And you said that your internet connection can be a little bit shaky at times. Is that true?
Yeah, it's true.
And Napa, so you're doing most of your school on the internet, right?
Yeah, and I am. All of my school is on the internet
And so has that shaky connection been an issue for you, or have you usually been able to work around it?
I usually find a way to work around it, but it definitely has its downs because sometimes I'm in class and there's those rainy days and windy days where a branch like somewhat gets into the power line or something.
Mm-hmm.
And it says like something about like, oh, like we're trying to connect to you, something about that. It's just kind of like hard sometimes because some teachers don't really understand that we're trying our best actually to be there. but that most of them think that we're just trying our best to like skip out or something. But it's kind of annoying sometimes when I'm trying to like do my assignment, but the internet is down, and it's just crazy about how many things we have on the internet, like for schoolwork, and we're trying our best, but the internet just collapses sometimes. And it's not just me, it's like everyone in school has at least once had bad internet connection for school.
Well, reboot your modem and reboot your computer regularly, but I know that there are a couple of service providers that are trying to get better internet in our rural areas and just want to shine the light on what an important topic that continues to be. You know, I don't think anybody loves being in virtual reality, but, you know, folks like Destiny do need to go to school and they do need their education, and the internet is how they're getting it. So we need internet equity throughout our region. So we've got just under 10 minutes left in the show. If you're just joining us, we're talking with folks from the Harbor about services they're providing to local schools with teen violence prevention. And February is Teen Dating Violence Action Month. This has been recognized by the federal government, and it sounds like Kate Brown also produced some sort of a memorandum or something about it. And is there anything else that either Julia or Jenny would like to add? Where can we take this conversation next?
Yeah, I just also wanted to add that for Teen Dating Violence Awareness Month, the Harbor has decorated our front windows of our building on 8th and Commercial, and we have a photo opportunity for you all until the end of February, which is soon. We are asking people, because it's COVID, you know, we wanted to make something fun and like make something local. So if you want to take a picture in front of our windows with all these beautiful orange hearts, and then put it on your social media sites, Instagram, Facebook, and then hashtag the Harbor or hashtag Teen Dating Violence Awareness Month. We would love that. That just shows your support and also just makes us more aware that this is an issue and that we want to support teens. Jenny and I are also going to be starting a podcast series. We got some supplemental funds from my grant people. And we purchased some podcast equipment and some audiovisual stuff and a green screen. We're just so excited. And we want to create like a teen show where we have people like Destiny and other teens that we're meeting along the way and our GSA students to come on and have these conversations about healthy relationships. So that's starting. And I know that we would love to collaborate with you all at KMUN and spreading it, you know, to the five counties. So
yeah, we would love to collaborate with you on that.
Yeah. More information to come. And I know Destiny is going to be one of our hosts of the show. We would love your help.
One of the things we do at high school. Oh, sorry, go ahead.
I said, yeah, it'd be so much fun to help solve something like that and to, like, you know, speak our minds and our thoughts and feelings about that stuff.
One of the things we do at high schools is have an anonymous virtual question box. We get so many questions. It's just a safe place for teens to ask questions that might be embarrassing or, you know, maybe they're having some kind of relationship issue and they don't want to out it to the class. So we get a lot of those and we just can't answer all of them. So we've talked about having an advice in a conversational style, like an advice podcast for teens. One other thing I wanted to mention too is you're talking about all the underserved communities around here, Graham. The presentations, I mean, this is the beauty of the COVID era, is that anyone can attend our Zoom meetings. So the parent support group for parents of LGBTQ youth, or the How to Start a GSA presentation, or the Q Center has these weekly youth hangouts by Zoom on Thursdays at 4. All of these things can be accessed by other counties. They're not only open to Clatsop County residents. So
great.
You can go to... you can follow our social media, the Harbor social media, to find out more about those. Lower Columbia Q Center has links on their website. And anyone, feel free to email me at jenny@harbornw.org. And I'll get back to you about any of that stuff as well.
And that's Jenny with two N's and a Y.
Thank you. Yes.
Yeah. Well, hopefully you'll hear from some folks and, you know, there's still a few minutes to call in with that icebreaker question. The phones have been quiet today, but they always are when we have great guests like yourselves on the radio. So can't thank you enough for joining us. Once again, harbornw.org. What's your Instagram handle again? It's just the harbor.
The harbor NW.
It is the harbor NW. Okay. Yes. Yep. Yes. So find them on Instagram, find them on the website, take advantage of those services. Please like. Yep.
Please like.
Please.
Stay tuned for that podcast. I can't wait to hear it. That's going to be really wonderful for everybody.
I want to hear everyone's problematic song fave.
I do too. I know my parents are listening. They should call in.
Okay,
they have a lot of them.
In case you forgot what the icebreaker question was for today, name a song that has red flag romantic issues, but it's a guilty pleasure of yours, right? Did I sum that up correctly? 503-325-0010. Just 3 minutes left. We can hear from at least one or maybe two. If you're quick, maybe three people. Give us a call. Let us know. And if nothing else, give us a call and let Julia and Jenny know how much you appreciate the work that they're doing. Sometimes folks are shy on a Wednesday morning. Doesn't mean they don't love you.
That's fine.
All right. Well, yeah. Any last words for anybody while we were waiting to see if that phone will ring?
Oh, just stay tuned. We love your support. We're going to be doing some stuff for Sexual Assault Awareness Month in April. And and Pride is coming up in the spring too. So we are actually starting we're partnering with the Q Center on creating a youth Pride this year.
Oh, that's great.
We're really excited. And especially during this time, this pandemic, it's just so hard for the kids. And so just to get them involved in these programs and activities is so important. I know that I would have loved to have been a part of all these things when I was a teen. Yeah.
Absolutely. Yes, well, Julia and Jenny teach a high school program. It's a 10-week curriculum called Start Talking. And so thankful to you for appearing on the conversation today and telling us about all the good work that you're up to.
Thank you so much having us.
Thank you, Destiny.
You really helped us.
Wish you all
Thank
the best, so and come back and chat anytime.
Thank you. Have a great day.
Goodbye, everybody.
Bye, Graham.
Bye.
Bye, Destiny. Bye.
Thank you so much for tuning into the conversation today. We've got lots of great folk music coming up next with your host, Jerry Middaugh. Stay tuned to your Coast Community Radio, KMUN Astoria, 91.9 FM, KTCB Tillamook, 89.5 FM, streaming on the web at coastradio.org. Headline news is at 10:01, and we'll see you on the radio. Bye-bye. Hey, Graham here one more time. Just wanted to do a quick plug for a little bit of virtual entertainment that is available to you all. It's for free. You're welcome to make a donation, but KMUN and the Coaster Theater partnered on a production of Don't Fear Shakespeare in the Park. This is COVID-friendly entertainment. Go to coastertheater.com, and the link to the video is right at the top. And this production was put together thanks to a generous grant from the Clatsop County Cultural Coalition. So please check out Don't Fear Shakespeare in the Park and stay tuned for lots more great COVID-safe entertainment coming your way from KMUN and KMUN-TV, a grant-funded project that's intended to create virtual entertainment during a worldwide pandemic. We just filmed an amazing classical trio at the Liberty Theater yesterday, and it went really beautifully. Members of the 45th Parallel Universe Orchestra. So stay tuned for release dates on that one. We love collaborating with venues and musicians and other groups like The Harbor. So reach out to us, feedback@coastradio.org, or email me, graham@coastradio.org. Thanks again for tuning into the conversation today. And here comes Headline News and then Folk with Jerry.